The scripture today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. And it goes, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. For by doing that, you will be children of your Father in heaven, who makes his sun shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous, and makes his rain and sends his rain upon the just and the unjust." So this is the text. And by the way, the children that desire to leave are dismissed. Recently, a friend, a professed atheist, but a dear friend of mine, asked me point blank, "Tell me about Jesus," but in a very short sentence. And I gave him just that quote. It starts out, "But I say to you," and here is a speaker, and it's a voice that is an alien voice. It's a voice that comes, is a different voice, is a new voice, I call it a heavenly voice, the voice of the Spirit of God. I've heard this sentence, this phrase, uttered many other times, and never really made a great impression on me. Sometimes I even mocked it. But eventually I was brought to a point in life where, to me, it's like a ray of light shining on life. To give you some background, I think, by the way, like it's probably each one of you, we have been affected in our lifetime by wars, by the scourge of war. I'm sure that each one of you can give me accounts of horrible things that have happened by some of your relatives, or even maybe you directly, because of the hatred among human beings, hatred which has been justified and even approved and even proclaimed. My first acquaintance with war was about 1943. I was born in 1937. Second World War started there, ended in 1945. In 1943, I was in a city called Bolzano. It was a bilingual city, Bolzano, Bozen, in the north of Italy, And at about, and it was about the first months of 1943, my brother was less than 1 year old, was a baby, and around 4:30 in the morning, the siren would pierce the silence of the night and announce that there was a forthcoming raid. And so my mother would bundle up my brother in a blanket, shout at me to get dressed fast because she had prepared the warm clothes for me to put on, and I was kind of doodling around, and run out of the house. About two football fields away, there was an abandoned tunnel, railroad tunnel. It was still the track in, but it wasn't used. Track and some obsolete locomotives, and there a whole crowd of people woken up in the morning would go there. My mother would bring a flashlight because there was no lighting inside there. So, but then all of the stories that I've heard as a child, stories that some words that stick with you, but you never connect, never insert in a context, in a wide enough context. You hear them, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. They make an impression, they stay with you. All of my grandparents and both of my parents were born under the Austro-Hungarian Empire in the southernmost reach of the Austro-Hungarian Empire under Franz Josef. And but that was borderline, and that was the front in the southern front of the war in the First World War. So they stories of destruction, pillage, the disorder that occurs during wartime. In 1943, in September, the 8th of September 1943, the fascist regime in Italy was overthrown, substituted with a temporary government under threat from the north because the Germans did not appreciate the Italians switching sides, so threatening an invasion. Still pockets of resistance by the fascist regime. Also the resistance now making more, acts of terrorism. because the resistance, which is now written up as in the celebrations in the textbooks as being glorious and so on, well, was not necessarily composed of saints. The resistance had all our human flaws. But here again, stories about in the disorder, in the collapse of the institutions, stories that come to mind. You know, remember that the fascist bully that used to go around in uniform, bullying people around? Well, they found him hanging from a lamppost. A child hears these things. and then the stories of the name of places, name accounts, horrible accounts, things that you cannot be spoken, cannot, that you hear but you don't want to repeat. Names like Buchenwald or Dachau or Sobibor, Treblinka, Chelmno, Majdanek, Mauthausen. One never speaks to children about these things, not even my own. But this same system of selective memory that you have this system of selective memory that hides a lot of things, and I was prepared to hear, because you can hear a statement and say, oh, yeah. But to hear it with an impact that says, wow, this is a voice I want to follow. This is a voice I want to, this is a voice I want to be part of. This is something that that I can devote my life to. This is something that I want to I want it to be part of my life. I want it to be part of the depth of my spirit, and so that the voice of Christ, the voice to me, this is the highest authority. This is the guru of life. The Bible has all these terms, but the force of and the spirit of these terms came somewhat alive in me, and in a way, my life has been for some time been living in the shadow of that, even though I never express it. You know, to people verbally or in an articulate manner. So it is a different voice. It is not the voice that you hear in the parades or in the flag waving events or in the textbooks that describes. By the way. We hear about the sacrifice of our heroes for our country, and I'm sure there are many acts of generosity and kindness even in times of war, and even in the theater of war. I don't deny that, but this mythology that is being portrayed as we owe to these people our existence and the fact that now we, you know, we have a nation and so on. It's really a very biased and very ultimately falsified account, because the same enemies that one country considers. Consider itself blessed by the people who protected it from, are the martyrs of another country, the country that fought against the fought against it. So they are heroes on one, there are the heroes on one side are the enemies of the other side. The martyrs on one side are the... there is something wrong with that. And that is why when Jesus speaks this way, the Spirit, I feel the Spirit of God is coming into my spirit, and I want to remain faithful to that. It's interesting that the same passage that speaks about imitating, the same passage that speaks about forgiveness, praying forgiveness, in other words, loving enemies, praying for people who do us harm, blessing them, blessing those who curse us, and doing good to those who hate us is an image of God, is the image of God. It's a description of God, and that those who take upon themselves this type of spirit, this type of life, become children of God, are in effect children of God, in the sense that they are born of the same spirit that God is. What a lofty call. What a marvelous invitation to be children of God, and to have this means to have a life from God, a life that is provided by the grace of God, and a life which is lived with God. God desires to have an interactive relations with each one of us, And this is the gospel of Christ, to invite us into this communion, this interrelationship, through everything in life, through work, through encounters with other people, to medical appointments, just every moment, invite this spirit to be in you, in every moment of your life, and there will be a difference. There will be a difference. Don't dismiss this teaching or this command or this invitation or this summon as something impossible. Moreover, do not give up the moment that circumstances show that perhaps the conviction that you have made progress, or events shows you that you have made much less progress than you had thought you'd done. Bless those occasions, because those are the thing that reveals who you really are and where you really need to make further progress. So those that contradict you, those that reveal to you your weaknesses, are your greatest friends, even though they do it with ill intention at times. So be blessed in that too. This is a good life to live. It's We see that writ large in international relations, but it's the same thing goes on at the individual level. Like big nations, big empires have their own glorious stories of liberation, of greatness and so on, and of fury against enemies and so on. Well, how about at the individual level? I've been revealed as narcissistic as anyone, and every day I get some hint that I have absolutely no standing to judge anyone, because I'm as needy of the mercy of God as anyone. In fact, every morning, every day becomes a teaching lesson that, you thought you were hot crap. Hot. But it's good to live that way. It's wonderful. I'm going all over the place here. But when people say there used to be a time in the, I think it was the 70s or the, where there was the evangelicals, evangelical Christian would talk about being born again. Well, if this life comes into you, that is a rebirth. It says that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is being born again. Actually, the translation of that text is anothen, is the Greek word that means born from above, born from heaven, born from God. Okay, that's being a child of God is being a person who's ready, for whom forgiving, for whom blessing those who curse you, for whom praying for those who abuse you. It's a natural thing. It's something you want to do. It may not be natural, but it's something that you see the sense. It's not an absurd thing. It's not a suicidal thing. It's not a masochistic thing. It's the thing to do, because God is with you. If God is with you, here's the other word, eternal life. People say, eternal life is after you die, No, eternal life is, God is eternal. God is eternal. Christ is eternal. So if the life of God is in you, well, eternal life is in you right now. Not the by and by. No, the call is for now. I think I've done enough rambling around. I hope this is useful. Much more could be said.